Hey, man, what's going on?
Oh, you know, we just showed up in the office here at E1.
Well, beautiful. Thank you for taking the time. Is it just Dan or is it the whole band?
We're all sitting around the table together.
Not only do you have the whole band, you have the crew.
That is amazing. Well, man, okay, I was ready for Dan, but let's do this. I want to go around the room then, and I want to go back to the beginning before any of you guys were in bands. And I want to talk about the music that was in each of your house as a kid growing up. Like, what are your parents playing you?
Okay, well, you know, my parents were listening to anything that you could smoke weed to. So, so that's, you know, Stones and the Beatles, Ricky Lee Jones, Phoebe Snow, I don't know, any of that stuff. I'll pass it on.
My mom was a big music.
This is Quinn.
Yeah, this is Quinn. My mom was a big music person in my family, and it was a lot of Elton John and ABBA.
Nice.
Really good 70s stuff. So, yeah, I grew up listening to that, all that kind of stuff. So, just really good songs.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, think back to those days when there was no Pro Tools and, you know, bands legitimately, I mean, they played. They were all players.
Yeah, you have to actually make the performance.
Yeah. Yeah, so much different today.
Yeah, we don't have to do that.
We were just talking about that yesterday about how... We were actually just talking about that yesterday on the van about how this newer generation of musicians are getting so much better at a young age. Maybe it's because they grew up listening to music that's Pro Tools and gridded and tuned. Whereas, do you know what I mean? Like, and they don't even realize that it's edited. It's just like that's the standard. So it's like, okay, I have to be that good.
Right.
So it's almost like making drummers play tighter and making singers sing more in tune.
Wagging the dog.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, even an album like Rumors, Fleetwood Mac. How good is that album? And also, the way that they've structured the way that they want the songs to play, song one, song two, song three, they've done it in a way for you to actually go on a journey with the band.
Yeah, you know, the sequence is a huge part of it. And,
big time.
And it proves true to this day. You can put the record on driving. You're not going to turn it off.
Yeah. And collectively, guys, what's the thought on just releasing singles and maybe Royal Tusk leaving the LP behind? Would that ever happen with your band?
Hi, I'm Sandy. As a music fan, I love records. I love putting them on, listening to start to end. I'm not someone who puts on one song and can base the whole band off that. If I really want to make my choice on a band, I got to hear more than one song.
For sure. And, you know, dude, sometimes, maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll disagree, but sometimes the songs that don't get released from a band, that's actually what shapes your opinion of them.
Without a doubt. And not to mention, having a good record and seeing the artwork and reading the lyrics, that shapes what you think about a band entirely.
Absolutely. Like, dude, I'm 45, so, you know, when I go back to my childhood, you know, it was Rolling Stone and Spin and all those magazines. You were waiting for them to be released because there's no internet. It's not like you could be like, oh, Royal Tusk, cool, rad fucking rock band from Canada, see a bunch of videos and shit. It wasn't like that. If I wanted to get to know your band, I waited. Dude, I waited for Metal Edge to come out. You know what I mean?
Big time, man.
And you kind of lose that as the generations go by.
As a kid, like, I would go to, like, and I'm a massive heavy metal fan, I would go to the stores and I would pick records with, like, the most gruesome, fucked up covers you could see. Like, you know, going home with a Cannibal Corpse record and my dad being like, what the fuck are you listening to?
Right,
that kind of exactly, you know, like, those kind of covers are insane.
Well, remember the first cover of the Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction? It was so
the original one.
Messed up. Oh, they were like, oh, hold up. We can't sell that on record shelves. What are you, mental? That's not happening.
I'm getting reminiscences of Smell the Glove right now.
Yeah. All right, let's go around. I want to go around the room and find out first concerts.
Oh.
Okay. Kaylin?
Mine's pretty funny, actually. My first concert was Matchbox 20 with Lifehouse opening.
Wow.
It was my mom and dad and a bunch of their friends, and I think I was in the fifth grade.
What was that big song from the Hanging on a Moment?
That would be Lifehouse.
That Lifehouse.
Big song,
Of course, Matchbox 20, Tanya. That's great. That's a pretty big bar to set. Both of those bands were pretty good in their day.
Yeah, it's funny he hasn't progressed past
that. Yeah, I was going to say. He's got a bucket hat on right now and a Lifehouse tattoo.
I kind of regret my Lifehouse tattoo, but...
The bucket hat stays.
Yeah. How about you, Dan? What was your first concert?
I'm really proud of it. I spent all my allowance that took a year to accumulate on a Rolling Stones ticket.
Wow.
So I saw Rolling Stones with Colin James in a 60,000 person place, but it was the most incredible thing ever.
I bet. How old have you been for that? That's pretty cool. You actually saved your own money for that.
Well, like that was Voodoo Lounge tour. So I don't know, man. I'm gonna be
93, 92,
yeah. 9 or 10 years old. Yeah.
Mine, Sandy. I used to I grew up, my brothers were both big punk rockers, so I used to go to a bunch of hall shows and stuff like that. But my first big show, and actually Dan was there too, was Metallica. Okay. And that was pretty badass.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Crap, can those guys play? That's a show.
Well, I mean, and we were young too, so that would have, Load might have just come out.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was pretty badass. And then seeing those guys on stage is larger than life, no matter what age you are.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, iconic band, no way around it. Last.
Get Quinn. Yeah. I can't remember what my first concert was. I remember my first arena show I saw was Nickelback, actually.
Oh, wow. And what'd you think?
It was kind of I was like, holy shit, that's rock and roll. I was so young and actually really chill.
They really do throw down. They're good players.
Dude, there's so much pyro and
Yeah, dude. And that's another one of those bands, going back to my point just a few minutes ago. That's one of those bands that, you truly shape your opinion of that band from the songs that don't get released to radio. Like some of the stuff that Nickelback doesn't release is fucking heavy.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. My favorite songs of theirs are definitely not the ones that are on the radio.
Right. I mean, from those guys, Flat on the Floor, Throw Yourself Away, Side of a Bullet. I mean, those are big songs that, for whatever reason, don't get released, because I actually know what the reason is. They're one of those bands that crosses over from a rock station to a pop station to a, you know what I mean? So they're when they release songs, they're just trying to cast the biggest net possible.
Yeah. Just keep the gravy train rolling.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah.
And Sandy now. And when people make fun of Nickelback, it's what's the point? They're just doing their thing. It's rock and roll. You know, if you don't like it, don't listen to it. There's no point in everyone kind of jumping on that bandwagon.
Yeah, totally. You know? I mean, if it was so easy, everybody would have number one hits. It's not that easy.
Yeah,
to write a big song.
That's the story with pop every time. People think it's simple.
Yeah.
You said it best, man.
Right. I mean, everybody says it's easy because they make it look that easy. But it's because of how good they are that they make it look easy. Anyway.
Right.
Okay, so you guys are about to go out. You're heading on a tour here from January 23rd to the 23rd of February. SiriusXM's Accelerator Tour. Like a Storm, Afterlife are also on the bill. Great tour. Nice run of dates so far, but will more be announced? Because I guess what I'm getting at here is there's no Vancouver date yet.
Oh, yeah. We have Canadian dates in the works.
Nice.
And okay. We just announced our mainland Europe UK tour with Monster Truck, which is cool. And there will be more US dates too this year. We're going to be on the road all year pretty much.
Right. Well, that's the goal, right? Now, you guys did the tour of UK last year. So you're going back?
Was it 2017?
I think it was 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the difference of crowds? Because I've heard from many bands that the difference of North America to European crowds is insane.
It's kind of hard for us to gauge that one.
Yeah, I mean, our last time there was decent. I will say that, yeah, you run into a difference with which is I would say they're less pretentious, if anything.
Right.
That the culture, at least in Germany, what I notice is that they judge bands on their caliber and quality, and there's not as much hype. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that was my impression anyways.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'd be interesting to see, the reception again. And of course, Monster Truck's a great band as well.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's going to be a blast.
Guys, the video for Aftermath is awesome. Great song as well. We live in a different world than when music videos were a must for a band to kind of make it. I think it's cool to see a band like Royal Tusk still creating the vision of their song.
Well, thank you. I mean, we thought long and hard on making that video and knew we wanted to do something that would have an impact. Mm-hmm. Not only, you know, it's like, oh, sweet, rad music video, but no, it's part an extension of the creative identity of the song.
Yeah, and because sometimes, you know, as a fan, you'll watch a video and go like, that wasn't the video in my head. And do you feel like sometimes the video that you guys release, I mean, it really starts to niche what you want people to think of that song. Do you know what I mean?
It's Sandy again. I mean, for starters, I mean, when we put the video out, we wanted, because we were coming out with a brand new sound for the band and kind of a new look. We wanted to solidify what we were all about. So we wanted it to look exactly like the way we thought it should.
Yeah, it looks killer.
Yeah, and we did want it to stand for something. I think the market in general has been malnourished with meaningful music, and we're no smarter than the next guy, but we definitely have done our best to bring things that are cause for concern forward. Mm-hmm. You know, and just ask questions. You know, like are we okay with how desensitized we are to violence in our life? Like, it's so normal now. And
right.
I don't have the answers, but we really wanted to just put that out there. Because that's, you know, what we were feeling when we wrote the song.
Mm-hmm. It's a, you know, stand for something, you know?
Right. And do you guys film a lot of what happens around you? Like, can we, as fans, expect a Royal Tusk documentary or a DVD or, you know what I mean, life on the road kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, man. Maybe we do film a lot, but it's always just the goofiest shit. So that'd be pretty incriminating.
Do you guys think that Motley Crue movie will live up to the expectations?
If it's an iota like the book, it'll be a pretty jaw-dropping. I think I remember reading seeing an interview, and I think it might have been Ryan Adams, and he was saying when he read the book, it was like comparing Motley Crue to a baby with a loaded gun.
Yeah. Right? I mean, if they're going to stay true to the book, they almost have to make that an X-rated movie.
Without a doubt. That was a great book, by the way.
That was a killer book. That was why I actually wanted to get into that with you guys as well. Sammy Hagar's Red, if you haven't read that one, is amazing. Life from Keith Richards is another, like, page-turner, can't-put-it-down kind of thing.
Cool. Yeah. I read tons of those books as well.
Which ones can you recommend?
I love the Slash book. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
it's almost exactly like reading the Dirt, though. A lot of these bands are from this area, you know, and they all kind of weirdly are crossed over. So one book they'll mention in, like, how they met Flea, and then you'll read Flea's side in Scar Tissue, and it talks about them meeting. You know, it's kind of incestuous a bit, but it's cool. It's awesome.
It is totally.
What I find always funny about those is how the their personal accounts of what happened never match up.
Yeah.
Depending on how many, ounces of whiskey one has ingested, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's part of the fun.
That's hilarious.
To show how experiences are so subjective and you hear them from a different point of view. And
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden's my favorite band.
Oh, yeah.
From all time. And their book was just like an encyclopedia about it. So of course, I'm going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, it's so cool. Like, their story with Bruce Dickinson flying the band around in, like, straight up jumbo jets, man, flying them across the world to play the next 60,000 seater. It really is something else, man. That story is unlike anybody else.
Oh, and even their come up, how it was just like so bare bones metal. And then just to being like, you know, the biggest band on the planet. It's jaw-dropping, you know?
Yeah, and if you guys haven't watched that Eagles documentary on Netflix.
The best.
God, the way it starts with the Seven Bridges Road and...
Oh, and, God, it makes your hair stand up, man.
I know, right? And, like, think about how much footage they have, pro footage, board feeds and everything else, but it's from the 70s, man. Like the late, think of how heavy those cameras would be.
God, yeah. And they look so fucking cool in the 70s too. Even right down to like the language they use when they're fighting with each other.
Right.
It's just, everything about it's super cool, man.
Yeah, absolutely. What else are you guys binge watching right now? What are the shows you can't get enough of?
Well, you guys, look to this. I don't watch a lot of Netflix.
You know, I'm like, you know, we all watched Making a Murderer, and I think the whole world had like a serious dose of like true crime.
Yeah, dude. And I so think then, the world collectively flipped the table over at the end of that one.
Yeah, I think so. So, you know, admittedly, I got into that kind of genre. I was watching a lot of this. But now, so I put on, well, the new one is The Innocent Man, or what? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just getting bored now. It's ran its course for me. Mm. So I think the coolest show, and this is just me personally speaking, the coolest show out there is Black Mirror.
Yeah, right great now. Show. Holy crap, that first episode, like I looked at the end of it, looked at my wife, you know, we's fucking the pig.
Yeah.
And I looked at my wife and went, this can't possibly, like, what did we just find, right? And then, of course, every episode, I mean, it doesn't go from episode one, doesn't tie to episode two, and they're all individual.
Episode two is a ghost? You know,
yeah, right. Eh? Wow, what a change. Went from a pig to a goat.
This is so real.
Do you guys...
Hey, Todd?
Yeah.
You got time for one more, man.
Oh, sure. Okay. Let me see here. Let me hit you with an oddball one. How about, do you guys believe that aliens have visited Earth?
We got two of them in the band, actually.
Yeah, right.
Sandy, yes, absolutely. You think that, you know, the universe is so massive. You think we're the only living beings out there?
There's aliens living among us. Come on, let's get real.
I think there are. I think, you know.
I think so, too. Big time.
Yeah, I fully believe in the David Icke reptilian species that's, you know, infiltrated our world.
Right. So look for those people that look super weird. Those are the aliens that live among us.
All you got to do is go to, like, a state fair or something like that. See the guy running the fucking Ferris wheel. He for sure is a lizard man.
90% chance that all carnies are fucking aliens. That's it.
All you got to do is watch Desperate Housewives. There you go. There they are.
Love it.
Don't smoke any of the weed the carnies give you, because then you'll know that's some interstellar shit.
Right on. Guys, thanks. Thanks again for doing this. You guys simply on social media are at Royal Tusk.
On Instagram, it's Royal Tusk Music.
Okay.
Twitter, it's Royal Tusk.